everyone again for coming. Thanks for sharing your energy and for being here together and for helping to create a field of consciousness that will go out into beyond this place, beyond this time, and to help raise the vibration around the planet. Simon Parks is a phenomenal speaker, and I can say that, as you may know, I've interviewed him. I think we did two interviews, one online, or maybe even two online, and one in person at the BASES conference during, we went off to Avebury and did one at the feet of one of the stones there. So I want to say that he is a British counselor. I believe he's not in that position any longer. He has not, however, retired from political office, as they call it. He'll tell you more about that. He is a very brave soul who has come forward to talk about his ET, for lack of a better moniker, alien experiences, contact experiences. He feels he is, I assume he still feels this. He told me 33% reptilian, 33% manted, and 33% human. I think that all adds up, or if there's a half in there somewhere. Anyway, math is my worst thing. So at any rate, he is here with us today, and without further ado, Simon Parks, please give him a...
Well, good afternoon. Thank you ever so much for coming along. It was really nice to listen to Harold's talk and to Peter. It was very, very enlightening. I'm really pleased to be back here again. Kerry organises some very interesting events. And it's quite right that I was a councillor. In fact, I was a councillor in London Borough of Hackney. And I've been asked next week to go down and talk at a venue called Passing Clouds. And that'll be really nice for me because I'm going to go back to the borough where I was a Labour councillor for 6 years. And then when I moved away from London, I became a Labour councillor again for the town of Whitby in North Yorkshire. And I did nearly a full term of office, and I decided that really this needed to take the work. And also, I think it's very, very difficult to stand in your truth and at this moment in the planet's history, difficult to be part of a political party. If you are in the elite, then you don't just control the governing party, you control any party that has a likelihood of holding office. Makes sense, doesn't it? So I always said that I would work as a local councillor as long as I was doing more good than harm, as long as I was in a position where I could do simple things like repair streetlights and get people's wheelie bins repaired and all the things that actually matter. And as long as I was doing that, I felt good, and I was doing that. But in the end, you have to make a decision as to how far up that ladder you wish to progress. And the further up the ladder you get, then the more interesting it becomes. So I resigned. I wasn't pushed out. I actually got a lovely letter from the mayor, and I keep getting phone calls from the mayor asking me when I'm going back. My reply is, when the system changes, then I'll come back. So that's the first thing. All right. I've entitled this The Multi-Levels of Deception. Now, I'm not going to speak in detail about all of these things, but I'm just going to cover it. What I wanted to do today was to not just address you, the audience, but for those people who watch this in their armchairs on YouTube. You have paid money to come here. If you didn't pay money to come here, this wouldn't happen. And all the people at home who don't actually go to any conferences and sit and watch it on YouTube wouldn't be able to do that. So actually, this group and groups like you make this happen. And that's why it's very important, I believe, to, when I say reward you, what I mean is reward your love for actually giving that time to the planet and to the speakers. So, you know, the audience at YouTube can't ask questions. They can't be part of that. So I'm always looking for ways to reward you for making that effort to come here. So I'm happy to take questions at the end. And those of you who have been to any of my talks know I like to give presents away. It's not a raffle, it's not a lottery. I just want to give you presents. So I'm going to be sort of asking questions, even if the answer isn't correct. If I like the answer, then I'm going to call you up and I'm going to give you a present. You can just choose what you want. And we just take it from there. All right. I did bring along, for those of you who are interested, when I went for my tour of Fylingdale's radar base, and I was presented with a medal for the three-hour tour of the three-phased array radar, number 68 out of a worldwide edition of 500, normally only given to generals, prime ministers, ministers of defence, and I got one. So I brought that along for you to have a look at. And I've got another medal, which was given to me by an astronaut, and it's a limited edition of 2,500. And, you know, whatever we think of the 1969 moon landing, it's very much in people's consciousness. And this was struck, these medals were struck between the moment the Eagle landed and before it splashed down. So again, those are not presents to give away because, first of all, the one from Fylingdale's is an American property and I am only loaning it. I can pass it to a member of my kin, but I can't sell it because it's not mine. It belongs to the United States of America. The silver medallion is mine and I want to share that with you. All right, let's go. The multi-levels of deception, black ops, my lab, abduction, government corporations, military secret societies. About a year ago, a member of my family said to me, have you just visited me? And this person lives 250 miles away from me. And I said, no. And a member of my family said, well, I thought it was you, but it isn't. It's somebody pretending to be you. So for the last year, I've been aware that something or someone has been trying to hoax myself, which is not good. I did a talk in Bury and was connected with 8 light workers and a member of the team at Connecting Consciousness, who as Fran, and who'd been absolutely instrumental in setting up Connected Consciousness. And she said that they had a piece of the jigsaw puzzle, which they wanted to put to me, was that the creature that I referred to as Dad had somehow put some form of energetic hook in me and was using me to project to other people. So I could have become very egotistical and said, what me? I'm far too spiritual for that. That couldn't happen to me. I'm too great for that. Or I could have done what a politician would have done and said, that's nonsense, that's rubbish. But what I did do was listen to it and realise that these people had brought me the final piece of the jigsaw. So I immediately repudiated the being that I call Dad. He has been totally removed from my website. And there's just a blank picture. I've replaced it with a picture of Mount Shasta. I put a quick statement out saying that, you know, this is what's occurred. And people have said, well, you know, if you're so psychic, why didn't you detect that there was this energy hook in you? And the answer is it happened between the ages of 3 and 6. And every time I scanned myself, what I found was, that's me. That's all I've ever known. So this will be very interesting because people who are spiritual will say, this is a guy who has realised that he's been used by a negative entity. Remember, this thing never hurt me. I had no reason to dislike it. Been used by a negative entity to get to others. And how has he responded? Has he hidden away? Has he said, no, it's not true? Has he said that it's nothing that could affect him? No, he hasn't. He's actually said, I've looked at this final piece of the jigsaw puzzle, put it together, and actually I think it is true. So, you know, I want people to understand that I have been used for very nasty purposes. And that has been finished and put away with. And I'm here before you today to show you that I'm not going away. The work has to be done. And it'll be very, very interesting to see who is spiritual And who says, yeah, this guy's actually stood there and taken it and come forward. And who's going to say, and they already, some are saying, he's lying. He's not really sorry. And that's actually what's happening. So, you know, that's the situation. I want you to know that. It's important that you hear it from me. Okay, here we go. That's a Draco. I couldn't even begin to put a picture of the creature that I call Dada, because to go to a three-year-old, between 3 and 6 year old boy, as I was, and trick him and do what he did is totally disrespectful. It breaks any trust, and as far as I'm concerned, that entity now is no part of my life, and the energy thing that was the hook that's on there has been removed. I needed help to do that, and so that's been done. So that creature is out of my life, and we'll see where we go with it. It's funny, isn't it? You think back in work or home, and you do something wrong, I don't know, and you say, oh, I'm only human. You know, I've made a mistake, I'm only human. But how many people, when they create a beautiful painting or a carving or a beautiful bunch of flowers, or they help somebody, they do something really special, how many of them say, yeah, I'm only human? We only say I'm only human when we are trying to cover a mistake. But we should be saying, I'm human. I've done something really beautiful. So again, you know, we need to think about how we relate to ourselves and others. Right, Black Ops Secret Space Program. I'm not an expert on this, but I'm going to just talk you through it from my perspective. Remember, everything is from my perspective. You know, it's not that I'm the gospel on this. The Secret Space Program really kicked off in the 50s. The object here was to try to catch up with certain entities. It was also designed to buy time with certain entities, to get into agreements with them. If you haven't got the technology to take somebody on board in a fight or in a struggle, you have to buy time. And that means compromising. And many ufologists perhaps don't understand that different governments faced with the most outlandish situation in their face. I'm not talking about ancient aliens. I'm talking about, in modern times, presidents and prime ministers who are faced with situations that, frankly, they've got no framework in which to come back on. So they had to do what they thought was right at the time. It's very easy to criticise people now, but if you think back to the time, many people made decisions they thought were right, and some people didn't. So if we're looking at a triangle spacecraft there, as far as I'm concerned, that's Orion or Grey technology, commanded by reptilian forces. And I would call them first-generation craft. Not solely so, but many of these first-generation craft are in mothballs, shall we say, ready to be used, should they be. So as far as I'm concerned, that's probably a genuine photograph. It's very hard, isn't it, to go on the internet and try and find something that's genuine. I like that picture. It looks real to me. The one on the left looks really good. I like that. The one on the right is excellent because it's what we would call stealth technology. Stealth technology, in part, comes from off-planet technology. And you can look at the engines here. It's like a hyperjet or a version of a ramjet. And look at the way that the metal is like a living skin. It deflects heat signature, infrared, and also breaks up radar waves. What you're looking at there is something quite exciting. It's a human mind working with exotic materials, exotic ideas, and creating something. There's nothing evil in that. That's clever. As long as something is being used for good purposes, nothing wrong with it. Carol Rosen, spoken to Carol Rosen. Carol Rosen is very, very vocal on the space program. And for those of you who are not familiar with her work, try and find and have a listen to her. Some of the stuff she says is, I think, quite accurate. Why has that one come back? There we go. The triangle craft. If you have a look at some of the more accurate renditions of the craft or crafts that hit the Earth, Roswell, they have a sort of a triangular shape to them. And one of the exciting things is the back engineering of what people call the memory metal. I think in British we say nitinol, and the Americans say nitinol, all the other way around. I've had that shown to me, really interesting, a piece of nitinol as a spring. You pull it out, put it on the sink, pour boiling water, and it immediately contracts back into its shape. Well, if you understand that that is only 10% of the capability of the material from these craft, then when you are flying such a craft in an atmosphere, you can actually morph the shape of the wings. So you don't need to rise or lower a rudder or an aeroloon, you just morph the shape, contracts and expands. So there's a back engineering that's gone on for a very long time, and for good reason. But triangle craft, generally, the technology is coming from off-planet. Those of you who are familiar with my history, my mother worked for MI5, but really she was reporting to the National Security Agency. My grandfather worked for MI6, but really he was reporting to the CIA. And my mother's work was with Operation Paperclip, a group of German scientists who were neither in the hands of the Americans or the Russians. What is interesting is that MI5 actually controlled part of West Germany and took over the statehood of these scientists, because technically many of these scientists in what was then West Berlin would have been war criminals and would have had to go to Nuremberg. So if they didn't have German citizenship, but they were controlled by MI5, the legal system in the Bundesrepublik couldn't take them to court. So this was a small group of scientists who were an overflow department. So when the American group of Germans in the States couldn't or were overworked, then questions about crashed alien spacecraft would be sent to this group of German scientists in Berlin, who would then produce a document and a paper, and that document would then find its way to my mother, whose job was to type out the document. And Operation Paperclip was a way for the Americans and the Soviets to bring in technology. The difficulty, perhaps, is that much of the ideology, much of the visions, became part of the United States, less so in Russia. The idea of the deep underground military bases was really kicked off by the Germans, who put so much manufacturing underground in 44, 45. And when the US saw that, then they realised that this is onto a winner, because satellites were really beginning to pick up and take images. So the German scientists and the whole culture of compartmentalisation belongs to the Germans. The Germans created the very first television-guided bomb. I think it was called Fritz X. And this device was produced by four different German factories, and each scientist only knew the job he was doing. Not one scientist understood what the role was. So this is something that the Germans really understood very well, something the Americans valued and are used to this day, as do many other countries. You're very familiar, of course, with renditions of the Der Glache, the bell. As far as I'm concerned, it contains an alien spacecraft pilot's chair inside and is a form of time portal machine. I know that there's much written on the internet, and I really don't want to get into a slanging match, but if I say to you that the Germans were very, very close to pushing forward technology, much closer than the establishment would like to let you know. When the alien craft crashed in the Black Forest somewhere between 1933 and 1936, the Germans went down the road of the power plant. How can we make something fly with this? In 1941, when an alien craft crashed in the United States, they went down the road of, here's a power plant, how can we make a weapon out of it? And this is a crucial difference. And what the Americans had was the method to trigger a bomb. It is incredibly complex to trigger a nuclear weapon. You need so many safeties before the final button. They had the means to do that, but they were very behind with uranium enrichment, and that's why they sent teams out all over, particularly in France, where the Germans had set up a uranium plant. And they stole, if that's the right word, uranium from a U-boat, and took the uranium from the U-boat, which is obviously German, put their trigger on it, and used that to bomb Japan. So we need to understand that off-planet technology has played an incredible, important role in forcing through technology on this planet. Nikola Tesla, as far as I'm concerned, is far more brilliant than Einstein. I really am. The big question for me is whether Einstein really did write the papers or whether his wife did. My mother said to me that she knew that Einstein was one of the quote German scientists taken to the Roswell crash and shown around it, but it was really down to people like von Braun and his mentor, who sort of understood different elements, although they were in the missile program. So Nikola Tesla, I've got a lot of time for that man. I really have. I don't know we can call him the father of what the Americans refer to as free technology, but certainly he had the concept. But what's much more important is that he wanted to put it to the world. You know the story of, you know, when he created a device and he demonstrated how it worked, and one of the power companies said, "Where's the meter?" And he said, "There isn't a meter, it's free." That was the end of that. Or 1951 or 52, the motor car that ran on hydrogen. Where's that gone? Do you see the film, The Man in the White Suit? Yeah? Same principle. Why am I not moving down? Human technology. Okay. I like this picture. I had to enlarge it for the screen. You know, it's so difficult, isn't it, with the digital age, whether something's real. I actually like this one. It's from Mars. So much material from planets or moons is not shown to the public. Whenever there's a space little foire, shall we say, the NSA put a 10-second delay on communications coming from astronauts to Earth. I haven't met one of the guys who did that, but I know somebody who's very close to that person, and it's a 10-second delay. And many times, that's exactly what they do. All right, I'm going to very quickly talk about Black Ops in terms of my lab. It's a very, very, very personal thing, and we don't really want fear. But it's important to understand that what we refer to as abductions by military, usually but not solely, is involved with helicopters. Black helicopter is not a helicopter that's painted black and then has a number or a banner on it. A black helicopter is a helicopter with no insignia on it at all, and it's illegal to take a vehicle up in the air unless it's identifiable. So if there is a vehicle up in there with no markings on it, then it's operating outside of the law. It is its own law. There's a great deal happening on the planet at the moment in this field, not all of it bad. Many times people have bruises on their bodies, and we need to understand that that isn't always negative. And I'm going to have to perhaps a little explanation here. If you're taken out of your physical body and you are an energy form and you go and do something and come back, you transfer the information that has occurred to you from the energy form back to the physical. If I take a sponge and I put it into a bucket of water, that sponge absorbs the water, and that's what's happening to the body. Sometimes certain individuals are very, very interested on psychic people on the planet and want to understand why you woke up. Tuesday morning you were going about your job as normal, suddenly on Wednesday something happened and you said, "I reject all this, I've seen it all." Well, often when someone's going through that stage, they're like a lighthouse and they're broadcasting and they're not really protecting themselves because they haven't learned. And so some of these negative people can identify that and come and find out what makes you tick. But there's another aspect to this. It's very interesting. The possibility that in some cases you've agreed to it. I'm going to talk about the Kazakhstan Jews now and the situation in Ukraine. The Kazakhstan Jews look at the Ukraine as their homeland, and I'm not going to... as a Jew myself, I'm not going to go into that argument. But what I'm looking at is Italy. The last 6 weeks, we've had two very important elections in Italy. It's passed most people by. 6 years ago, an anti-establishment political party probably had 1% of the vote and was not known at all. Recently, 6 weeks or so ago, it won the city of Rome, and one other city. And this is a totally anti-establishment party. They are now becoming the second largest party in Italy. There is activity between the British and the Americans in the air to try to put pressure on some of the Rothschilds. There is activity between the Chinese, the British and the Americans to put pressure on the Rothschilds gold mine somewhere off Indonesia. So, interestingly enough, the British and the Americans work together not always for bad. This is the principle that we're always told, you know, in our ufology side, that, oh, you know, they're more bad. That's not the case. There are many, many good people in levels of deep intelligence who desperately want what's right. But they are frustrated because of other people who are hell-bent on a particular course. So it shouldn't surprise you that some elements of black ops actually use people to fight their wars for them. Now, that war may be positive, but the question is whether the individual has actually been asked whether they were prepared to consent to that. So that's the question. So don't just think of my labs as the poor victim grabbed off his or her bed, subjected to God knows what, and then puts back in. There's a lot more to it than that. And I'm happy to talk to people privately to go through that. Okay. Let's talk about Britexit. I'm going down to Hackney next week to do a talk, and in the London Borough of Lambeth, 111,000 people voted to stay, and an insignificant number wanted to leave. And in Hackney, where I'll be speaking, something like 87,000 voted to stay, and an insignificant number wanted to remain. You need to understand that the London boroughs, most of them, have a very proud tradition of integration of different cultures. And the message they all got from the Leave campaign was one of racism. That's why London voted the way it did. You need, please, to understand that. I voted to leave. Yeah, I'm quite happy to go down to a community that has many black and non-white or Christian people. Because I didn't vote leave because I'm a racist. I voted leave because I don't like the one world European government. And I voted leave because I hate big corporations. Not corporations per se, but the attitude of greed. Those of you who know me know I have no problem with money, but I have a problem with greed. This is my piece of the cake, and I'm not going to give you a single slice. That is wrong. So there's a huge disconnect occurring between the people of England and Wales and central London and some of the more wealthy areas. And this is incredibly dangerous for the elite, because for the first time in many years, the British public have realised they can affect change. And you know yourselves that you met people afterwards who voted to leave and couldn't believe it had happened. I mean, just to show you the disconnect between the people and the government is that on social media, I've always used an indelible marker pen when I vote. I never use a pencil.
Yeah,
Because I was a politician. I know what happens, and I can't say any more, but I know what happens. So I always mark with an indelible pen. But to show you the amount of distrust right across the board, no. That happened last time I was here as well. That basically, it went around social media saying, don't use the pencil. Now, whether that's right or wrong doesn't matter. It just shows the gap that's been created. And the politicians are so trapped in their own cycle that they can't connect with the public. They can't understand what they need. Is that another one?
The same one.
Okay. You see, if in the film The Matrix, when Neo says, that's deja vu. All right.
More like Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. Well, it isn't Groundhog Day, ladies and gentlemen, because we are all breaking free. We really are. If you look back 10, 15 years, how lies and hidden issues were kept from the British public. Jimmy Savile. Human consciousness has risen so much that it is now very difficult for politicians and senior people to keep lies from us. you know, Savile was 50 years covered, but he couldn't do that now. He couldn't get away with that. So what I'm saying to you is that it is positive, because we are all evolving and we're changing, and, you know, there comes a point where people have got to decide which side of the fence they're on. They can't sit in the middle anymore. And are you on the Titanic? And we'll talk about the Titanic. You're on the Titanic or on your lifeboat? Okay. Right. Woodrow Wilson, I know some of you are familiar. Remember, I'm doing this as much for the people on YouTube who are coming to this for the first time. Woodrow Wilson, I'm going to read it. I am a most unhappy man. I have unwittingly ruined my country. That's the United States of America. A great industrial nation is now controlled by its system of credit. We are no longer a government by free opinion, no longer a government by conviction and the vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and duress of a small group of dominant men. So it's one of the first presidents to actually come out publicly and think, oh my God, what has happened under my watch? But not in a position to stop it, but enough consciousness to come out and try and warn people. Top bit, we have come to be one of the worst ruled, one of the most completely controlled and dominated governments in the civilized world. No longer a government by free opinion, no longer a government by conviction and the vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and duress of a small group of dominant men. So in other words, Woodrow Wilson had a very clear idea of what had been done, but wasn't in a position to stop it. Felt he wasn't in a position to stop it. Who's that?
Boris.
Who said Boris? First one. See, I like that answer. It's actually right. All right. So what presents we've got today? I've got some minerals. I've got... this is a Stone Age tool from southwest Spain. It is about 1 million years old. That is a copy, I know it's very small, you're going to need a glass, but that's a copy of the Roswell newspaper, as it appeared, yeah. That's a fossil book, that is a pack of playing cards for crop circles. Watch it, some of them might be fake. I've got two videos, and I've got a marble, two marbles, Victorian, about 1880 from Germany. Which would you like? Have anything you want? Yep, yes, of course you can.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Well, what I'm doing... is there's no lottery here, there's no raffle, I don't want any money, I'm giving these out of love. And this is a message for the corporations. Yes, I know we've got to make money, we have existed in this place for a very long time. But the reality is that it's greed. Wouldn't it be nice to have a bank that just charged 1% interest or no interest at all? It'd be really good to move away from money, but I don't think the way it is at the moment we can do that. But I think we can gradually move away from it, because money is one of the greatest controlling systems on this planet. All right, so that's Boris Johnson, but who's with him? Yay! Who said Rothschild? Right, what would you like?
Baron Rothschild.
What was that again, sir?
This is German marbles, made in 1880.
I'll have one of those.
You choose.
Mine.
Yeah,
thank you very
fantastic.
Much. Thank you, sir.
That's a pleasure. Right, good, so we got that right. What's interesting is that it was obviously the done deal. You needed to... be next to Rothschild to have a photograph. Let's talk about Britexit. And I need to just tell you, by the way, that I always, like all speakers, I take my time here very seriously. I really do. And I plan probably 12 hours getting the presentation right. 5 days ago, I became aware that I'm being fried by microwaves from a radio mast, which is about 120 feet away from me. The authorities sought planning permission within 3 to 4 months and be going public. And what alerted me to it, you know, I have a radio show. I do two radio shows a month, Wolf Spirit Radio. And the engineer from that said, you're being jammed, because it got so bad that after the first hour, I had to go onto landline and conduct my interview by telephone, because it was just impossible to do it. And that's why I don't get my emails, I don't get my Skype messages, my computer is off and on all the time. So got somebody in who is a professional, not part of the system, not a paid for engineer, but an independent engineer, who did some tests on the digital display. It went red, and on the analog display, the needle measuring was bouncing off the right. And the engineer said to me, "I've never seen anything like this. This is a terrible health hazard." And it is just the top part of the house being irradiated, which is where my office is. So I'm temporarily going to have to move down to the ground floor and go to write to BT, who control the mast. And there are two possibilities. So I'm going to send an engineer. I'm going to have the independent engineer come and be with him or her so that we can check it. But I actually think they're just going to turn it off. So I've been heavily irradiated, and it's got worse recently. So because of that, and the disruption it's caused, there are a few slides missing. I want to talk about Britexit and this man. Whoever becomes the next Prime Minister has got a terrible job, because Cameron was the man that gave the British public the choice. And what do the Europeans say? Oh, you shouldn't give the British the choice. They hate Cameron because he gave us a choice. Actually, I've got respect for Cameron because he gave us the choice. Mind you, he gave us the choice because he thought we were going to vote, we were going to stay in. But he gave us the choice. Now, I think we need to understand about the feminine divine. Hillary Clinton, Angela Merkel, Theresa May. What they're going to try and do is put three women in the positions of control and try to connect to the feminine consciousness of the planet. Now, the energy there I don't think is particularly good, but that is what they're hoping to do. Because they know that the traditional way of dealing with this situation in terms of people beginning to change is not working. So it was always going to be Theresa May. It wasn't always going to be Hillary Clinton, actually. Two factions, one really want Donald Trump, and I call Donald Trump Ronald Reagan on steroids. Because he would actually sign into law many things that Ronald Reagan wouldn't dare to have done. And the other thing is, of course, is the European president. And we'll talk about him in a minute. I don't know if I've got a slide for him. If I don't, somebody remind me and you get a present. Norway. Who can tell me about Norway? Come on, Norwegian. Just tell me. No, just tell me about Norway.
About Norway, he was against war earlier when he was Prime Minister in Norway. And he was very active, and now, but he said yes to join America in the war on Libya.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, he ran off for the job at NATO.
Okay.
So...
Thank you.
Something else to look at. Yes, my English is not so good. But he is born into the politic society in Norway. His father was a prime minister. He was a headmaster of the Red Cross all over the world. So he had been in a politic situation since he was a little boy. He had been around the ground of people when they are discussing political things.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's brilliant. We must always remember that just because somebody was around something doesn't mean they're bad. We have to judge them by their actions. All right. That's really important that we understand that. Because let's take someone who is in prison and does 25 years in prison and comes out. That person may be completely changed and for good. Right, someone comes out of the Vatican and the establishment would say to us that's one of the most holiest men on the planet. It might be the opposite. So let's always remember that we're going to look at people by their actions and their intent, not where they've come from or where they've been. We need to be clear that Iceland did something that very few other countries would deem to do. It removed the Rothschild Bank. It wasn't covered in this country, but many, many people stormed the Icelandic parliament. Now, I was in Hackney during the poll tax riots, and that sort of storming was awful. You don't want that. We had to put chairs up against the door, etc., etc. But this was a case where the individual members of parliament were physically grabbed and thrown out onto the street. That's just not been reported. The Constitution of Iceland has been written on Facebook. Well, yeah, I suppose the CIA will be the first to know what the Constitution is, but the point is, what they were trying to say is we want ordinary people to have a say in how the government forms. So, basically, he's saying that we bailed out the people rather than the banks. So that's the president of Iceland. So it's a very different system. This is really interesting. I'm going to read this to you. Iceland did it, so can we. Bankers jailed, and we've got pictures of them. You can see it is true. Politicians replaced, no shots fired. And that's really important. 2008, the citizens forced the resignation of both the prime minister and the effective government. 2010, the prime minister was indicted. Over 200 criminal charges were filed against the bankers, and all of the former CEOs of the three biggest banks were arrested, and others did leave the country. 2010, an assembly was elected to write a new constitution to avoid entrapments of debt. 25 citizens were chosen with no political affiliation. The only qualifications for candidacy at a halt for the support of 30 people. And the main Bank of Iceland was nationalised. So the point is that the Rothschilds at the moment do not control Iceland, but as you've intimated, are trying to get back in. But it's been done, and it wasn't reported accurately by the established media. Here's the two. 4.5 years is not very much, but it's something. And it sent a great message out. And that's... Can you pronounce the names for me? Because I can't. Well, that's brilliant. Thank you. You deserve a present just for that. I want to talk about elite individuals. And please remember that not all elite individuals are bad. We mustn't just, you know, blanket brush people. We've got to be discerning here. Right. Nathan Rothschild. Can everybody read that at the back? Okay, I don't need to read it. All right, you got that. There's a house. One of the many. Isn't that beautiful? Don't be surprised if the Rothschilds make an application to emigrate to Switzerland. That's seriously on the cards. Seriously on the cards. I know we do all the properties everywhere. Maybe we could sort of go and visit them. We're talking a lot about the Bilderbergers. This is an interesting comment, and it's genuine. And it's basically at a Bilderberger conference. The statement really was, we're grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications. Those directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plans for the world if we'd been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. That's why I don't buy a newspaper unless I want to look at election results, which may or may not be real, but also if I want to do what I'm going to do is read some cuttings out to you, which I just got, or really listen to the headline news on the mainstream media, unless I want to know what they want me to know. Don't really talk about the Warburgs. We will have a world government, whether you like it or not. The only question is whether the government will be achieved by conquest or consent. We're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. 1994. I've been waiting a long time for it, haven't they?
Putin could be our saviour.
We're going to come on to Putin, so you might have a present in a minute. Right, here's the family. I don't know any of these people, but because of my experiences, because of who I am, I can tell you that this person has mind control issues, without a question of a doubt. May even have a demonic entity in him. And this one also has issues. And it's interesting, these are the younger ones being got ready. Okay. Remember, please, that not everybody who's bad guy is a reptilian. Part of the Palladian group had a splinter faction called the Old Aldebarans, who masqueraded as Palladians. So we mustn't just judge people because they have a label on them. Always look to see what they do and how they do it. And this is not quite accurate. It's a bit out of date because it's changing all the time. But there are very, very few countries with a Rothschild bank in them. And Russia is one of those countries, and that's why we talk about Putin. Putin, a bit like Jeremy Corbyn, can't be controlled. Do you know that all of these shadow cabinet members who have turned on Jeremy Corbyn are either personal friends of Tony Blair or members of the Fabian Society? Okay? So if you can't control a politician, you get rid of them. And in JFK's case, they put a bullet or so through him. This is lovely. This is really old. If my sons didn't want wars, there wouldn't be any. Now then, we talked about Tavistock Institute, 1911. I'm going to tell you something which you may or may not know. First World War, not long after 1911, when Tavistock got going. The story of Adolf Hitler, a bit that perhaps you might not be familiar with, was that at the end of the First World War, Hitler was so absolutely shocked that Germany had lost. You have to remember from your history that no Allied forces really penetrated into Germany. So German soldiers couldn't understand why the Kaiser had given up when they were still fighting in French soil. And that's why in wars since then, the victor has gone straight into the country, so that there's, it's very clear. Adolf Hitler had hysterical blindness and was put down to mustard gas. I don't believe it was necessarily that. I think it was hysterical blindness. Do you know he went to an organisation linked to the Tavistock Institute? There were six of them. They underwent some form of mind programming to help them not have hysterical blindness. And this, I believe, was where the programs were placed in him to give him the alter personality so that he could be something when he was something else. I also do believe that he was someone else's son. Now, if you think that the Tavistock Institute was set up by the Rothschilds, and that I believe that Hitler's father was a Rothschild, and if you think the Tavistock Institute was commissioned in 1911, and the First World War started in 1914, you begin to see the pattern. I also don't believe that Hitler died in the bunker. My grandfather, speaking from the position of MI6, when asked if Hitler really did die in the bunker, he replied, "Well, MI5 didn't think so." That's how he would reply. My mother said that there was no way that he died. He'd done a deal with the Americans, and in return for Nazi scientists, an awful lot of gold, he was allowed to get out to Argentina.
Simon, just quickly, there's some FBI papers that back that up, actually.
All right, okay. Yeah. Do you want to send a link out and we'll try and get them out? That would be really good.
Simon, there's also another interesting fact about Hitler, not well known.
Okay, please. Yeah.
Apparently, come here. When he was a student, and he was quite psychic as well, he was gifted, and he had a relationship with a young Jewish girl that gave him syphilis, which later on led to his madness and his hatred towards the Jews. One of the reasons.
Okay, that's really helpful.
It's not well known.
No, I mean, I knew he had syphilis, but I didn't know how he'd got it.
Yeah, he got it for a sexual relationship.
Okay, he also only had one testicle, and that was because he had to lose the other one as part of a sacrificial agreement with the organisation that controlled it. You always have to give something. If you're going to do a deal with some of these groups, you have to sell your children. He didn't have any children to sell, so he gave a part of his body, and it's the creational force as a testicle, so you understand the magical link there.
That was in the popular song, wasn't it?
It was. We're not going to sing it, though. Not even for a present. Have you seen my previous talks? We know how Hollywood likes to use people and use them as the front for a film to put out information, not because they want to warn you, because they want to do anything about it. But it is the rule of magic that you inform people. Some people will say the thing in plain sight. It's not quite that. You inform them, and then you also make it happen because they buy into it. I want to talk to you about a really interesting talk about magic. I want to just explain it to you. Two sorts of magicians, black magicians, the old and the new. And the time of the Renaissance, science and magic were one. There was no difference. So alchemy was science. And then people like Leonardo da Vinci come along and others, and they draw wheels and cogs and pulleys. And in the human consciousness, That's science, I understand that. That became your cell phone, your mobile phone, your motor car, and went up to be science. The rest became magic, alchemy, the real alchemy, you know, not changing gold, lead into gold. That took a dive underground. But many of the energies on this planet are connected before this split, this bifurcation. And that's how they still see themselves, in connection in that. So often media is used in a way that doesn't actually seem to make sense in a modern setting. So my mother, before she was murdered in 1979, told me that this man, Arnold Schwarzenegger, would be president of the United States. And he was earmarked to be president. He didn't make it. He became the second most powerfulest man, which was the governor of California. It is the governor of California who is the second most powerful politician in America. It is not the vice president. So already, many years before it happened, my mother, had, through the network, had been told, this man's been chosen and he's going to be the next president for the states. But that didn't quite work out. Talk about separate principalities. There is it's a half-baked idea, but at the moment, people in the top are considering taking England and Wales out of Europe, but leaving the city of London in Europe. And it's not going to happen, but there are some serious issues about that. Now, the financial centres in Frankfurt and Bonn very want Britain to go, because they will develop. But Theresa May, you will find, will try to keep the City of London somehow within that system. So I want to talk about separate principalities. Who can name the three separate principalities that we know of?
Washington, D.C., Vatican City, City of London.
Right, hold on, because somebody put their hand up, and I just want, who put their hand up? Right. Is that the same?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like you both to come up front. You shouted out, so that was naughty. But he put his hand up. So I'd like you both to come up now and just get a present. Come on, to be fair. Okay, so minerals, 1 million-year-old Stone Age tool, fossil book, crop circle book, German marble, videos. He's got that. He's got that. Great. Thank you. The Stone Age tool is 1 million years old, so it belongs to a group called Homo ergaster, which is the form that we have in Western Europe between 1.8 million, but 1.9 million years ago, and came down and became the man from Boxgrove, or the woman from Boxgrove, if you're aware of that, right through to the modern times. For those of you who don't know, I was an auxiliary lecturer at the Natural History Museum, and I really enjoyed it. My job was to meet all the school kids who arrived from all over the world, and I was one of the very few who would take five-year-olds. Most of my colleagues just wanted nice sort of 17, 18 to the private schools, 25-year-olds, the finishing schools. Now, I was quite happy to take fivers, and I would always take disabled people. I was quite happy to go around with a wheelchair at their speed. And my job was to take them to the earth galleries to show them the dinosaurs, the rocks, the fossils, and run workshops with them and their lecturers. And I can tell you that there's no way that we got to this position now through natural selection. You know, Peter has given you some very interesting information that if you are a 33-degree Mason, you're a Mason, but you're still in the system. You go beyond that, you are something different. And Charles Darwin's father was something different. Okay, and that's why poor old Wallace, who co-authored The Origin of Species, didn't get a look in, because what Wallace said was that he had no problem with a cat or a dog or a plant evolving through natural selection, but he really had a problem with people because he didn't think there was enough time for humanity to go from the so-called ape to what we are now. But it's very much part of the agenda. Those of you who come from elite families will know that the survival of the fittest is a very reptilian trait, and that is what those families are taught. So the whole journey on the beagle, the writing of the paperwork was a plan. And if you go to the Natural History Museum, you will see a huge statue of Charles Darwin sitting on a chair, meant to, you know, really dominate and show you how learned he is. A great big brows here. Looks like a monkey, actually. And poor old Wallace, who co-authored this book, is reduced to a painting about 6 feet away the side. And there's a little rusty old plaque that says Wallace, co-author of Origin of Species. So don't stand around Darwin. Go and look at the painting. Because Wallace actually said what he said. And there's the system presenting the image to you. And we just can't quite hide everything, but we just put Wallace around the corner. So just know that. Right, so separate principalities. If you want to operate a law within a law, you need to be separate. So the first one is the Vatican City. Why a church needs to be so grandiose, I really don't know. Because if you believe in the poor, if you believe in the suffering, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you strip every bloody piece of gold out? Hang on, wrong picture. Why wouldn't you strip every piece of gold out and sell it on eBay and give the money to people who really need it? Why wouldn't you do that? It's because people, those people anyway, are full of ego and into power. Power and control. And religion, I must correct myself, most religions are about control. That's what it is. It's a club. You know, I've always said it, you put, and I'm sorry, gentlemen, you put a man in a room and you give him a set series of tasks, there isn't a problem. You put two men in a room and you throw a piece of paper in and you say, right, elect yourself a leader. It goes wrong. That's because of the ego. It's because of the programming. It's because nobody can give. I can't step back. I can't be seen to do that. I must come forward. Why? Because we're not inherently bad beings. We're wonderful creatures. But we have been manipulated. The reason we've been manipulated is because we're not naive. That's the wrong word. We're so trusting. We're so trusting because we can't hurt somebody. We can't believe that the people we put into position of responsibility would do that to us because we wouldn't. So that's how they've hoodwinked so many people, because we trust them. And that's why when the truth comes out, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be on your shoulders and many, many people around the world who have known this to support those who are going to literally fall on the floor in a heap because their world has collapsed. And that everything they knew has been taken from them. But that's the beginning of regeneration. That's the beginning of them depending on themselves and not somebody else. But they're going to need support. So it's a bit of pain, but at the end of the day, fantastic. This is the Vatican's official seal. And what's interesting is the three crowns. And you mentioned the three principalities. This is the three principalities that are all separate. How well it's all linked in. Capitol Hill, Washington, separate principality. And let's have a look at this gentleman. Mr. Morgan, gold is money, everything else is credit. When the telegraph was invented, Tesla understood that most of communications went under the ground. Didn't actually travel majoritively through the air. So when this was designed, the old-fashioned, you know, the Wild West, where they were tapping, they had two cables. J.P. Morgan owned most of the copper mines, where the copper was spun to make these cables. And now the guys who were operating the machines were quite technically knowledgeable. And they realised that if they just had one line running, and one from the pole going into the ground, and at the receiving station, one going into the ground, it would work. As soon as J.P. Morgan found out about that, he put a stop to it because that would have cut his copper sales by 50%. We don't need two wires, we need one. So there's so much in history, the evidence is there, but we have such busy lives. We are so busy surviving from day to day that we don't have the time that perhaps we would like to do that. But just ask your soul, ask your heart. Your heart will tell you, you know, what is truth and what is not. This is really interesting. These three guys didn't want to set up what became the Fed Bank. They really were against it. And they were on what we would call the Titanic. There were two ships, a sister ship, and I believe it was the sister ship that was sunk. Okay? But basically these three guys were on there, and you need to understand there were many people who weren't important like this, and they lost their lives. So by putting these three up, I'm not giving these three added attention and forgetting all the rest, like celebrities, you know, oh, we'll focus on the celebrity. It's that these three were actively against setting up the Fed Bank, and so they perished in that incident.
Are they doing the same tricks today, Simon, with the aeroplanes?
Well, they do, but they've had to learn to be even more duplicitous, because human consciousness is rising, and they are then having to be even more devious. But they are being caught out. I'm going to read this because it's very tiny, this writing, but it's very interesting. I think that picture is taken from the film, which I've never seen. Right, the novel Futility. Anybody read the novel book called Futility? It was written in 1898. Oh, I've got to save a present. Right, the novel Futility, an 1898 creation of Morgan Robertson, detailed the sinking of an unsinkable ship. So this is a book that was written before the Titanic allegedly sank. It was in the book, it was the largest vessel afloat. The imagery ship named Titan, and the imaginary ship Titan, collided with an iceberg during April, resulting in a high loss of life because the ship carried too few lifeboats. 14 years later, with uncanny similarities, the real ship Titanic recreated what happened in the novel. Just like when I've shown time and time again in the Terminator film, when the lorry is, the truck is driving down, and on the bridge it says, headroom 911. You've seen my clips, you've seen that. Okay? So what the system is doing is telling you and hoping you'll buy into it, because if you buy into it, you may create it. Alright? So what we need to do is just create what's good. Just buy into what's good. All the rest is just bullshit. Here's the City of London. Oh, that looks like my dad there. That's a dragon. We don't want to hear that. David Icke is correct. It is ringed round. It is a separate principality. I've got the greatest... I always say this. I've got the greatest respect for David Icke, actually. But the issue for me with David was that he went down the road of the system. He wanted to change the system. So he tried to use the system to change the system. So he got a studio, he got a bank manager, he got an accountant, he got all the trappings of the system. The system is just designed to protect itself. That's why David Icke, for God's sake, got thrown out of his own studio. When I created Connecting Consciousness, I don't have a bank manager, I don't have an accountant, I don't have an office. All I have is the goodness of human beings throughout the planet who wish to make a change, wish to support each other, and wish to actually stand by truth. There's nothing to take down. There's no structure for the system to try to attack. Just decent people, either on their own or small groups throughout the world, all trying to work together. And I'm not going to give names away because it's not fair. I haven't got that permission. But one person who is an active board member of one of the key multinationals on this planet, it's very kindly sends me a donation of $10 a month. But he does it, and I've Skyped him, and he said to me, oh, we all know it's coming. All the multinationals know there's a change coming, and I'll just tell you this, that all the multinationals are trying to recruit an ethical director, because what they want to do is to still be a multinational when the consciousness changes. Therefore, they want to change the way that the people perceive them. Now, okay, that isn't the right reason, but what it tells you is the usual story that the elite know there's a big change coming, and Joe and Josephine on the street don't actually have a clue at the moment. So when I wanted to set up Connecting Consciousness, I did not go down the traditional route. I gave up my job. I was a driving instructor, and I enjoyed that very much. But I had to decide, do I want to play whatever my part is, whatever my role is, no matter how small it is, Or do I just want to carry on, you know, doing what I did? And I decided that I had to take the risk to give up the regular salary, give that up, and just rely basically on donations and doing the few soul readings. And I decided that I could never have lived with my soul, my consciousness, had I decided that, look, I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to do the odd conference, but I'm really going to have a day job. And this wouldn't have worked. So he sends me $10, and I thank him. I thank him. I love this. It's the Tower of Babel, the city of London. It is the centre of the financial world, what anybody tells you. And what's happening at the moment is the elite are trying to suck all the value out of the Western world before it collapses. Okay, and that's very, very prevalent and very, very much the programme at the moment. All right, we've got the famous pyramid. We're all familiar with this. Again, this is more for the benefit of people who are watching this for the first time and don't have the experience and the knowledge that you guys have. Okay, and we need to make sure we're not better than them. I'm not better than anybody. I've always stood up here in front of everyone and said, I'm just an ordinary person just trying to tell you what he understands and sees and hopes that you go away and do your own research on it. So basically, I don't like the word debt slaves, but what it means is basically that we are working and we don't really have much time for ourselves. We don't have time to connect with the planet, to be spiritual, to understand who we are and our true history. Now, I say to people sometimes, imagine an imaginary house with a boy and a girl, brother and sister, say 6 years old, and mum and dad goes to work every day and comes back. And then suddenly mum and dad don't come back anymore. But don't worry, the Black Guardian turns up, gives them food and clothes, and he teaches them about the Bible and things like that. When those two brother and sister grow up, they have no concept of who they are, no concept of their history. They don't know how to love. They don't know how to relate to people. They're fractured. But what they are is children without direction. And that is the human race, by and large. And they need to reconnect with themselves and understand who they are and make that connection and not hook onto any demigods. Because what I'm concerned about is the vacuum that's coming. Something or somebody will present itself as the saviour. And unfortunately, many people like to abdicate responsibility. You know, don't worry, Custer's cavalry are coming. Well, you know, we are the cavalry. We are the people. We need to do it ourselves. So look at the pyramid, and you've got all of the things that we understand as control elements. And I like this one because it does talk about the Council of 13. It's like MJ-12. You know, the Majestic 12. Well, it may have been 12, but it's a different number now. It's higher. So we have to be careful with some of this. But it gives you the overall idea that you have corporations, different levels of control, powerful families, etc., etc. It is a pyramid of shape. Skull and Bone Society. And this is an American take, so it's not really well known to British people. But I really like this picture because it's old, and isn't that like the pirate flag? Isn't it? And how that is linked to the Templars. This is in Israel. You've got the two pillars and the central part. This is actually, as far as I'm concerned, for teleportation purposes. You put your hands over the pillars and you're teleported. So this is representative of a portal going through. That's my own view. And here's a gentleman. Depopulation should be the highest priority of the US foreign policy towards the third world. It's about right, isn't it? This is one of the Rothschilds HQs. I like it because we've got a pyramid here. And this is a nice fountain to cool down. The pyramid is a very important element in people's mythology. I love it. Where's this from? Come on.
Lord of the Rings.
No, Game of Thrones.
Well, he's from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, you're right. Come and have one. Have a present.
Okay.
Come on. Cheers. Yeah, fine.
I feel really greedy here.
You're not greedy.
Which one's that then?
This is called Sputnik mineral. It's like the Sputnik. Do you want it?
Yes, please. Yes. Oh, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. No more now. Greedy. Pyramids are important. You know this is Mendelssohn. Sometimes people who are from a certain culture can't help themselves, and when they reflect back into themselves, they'll go into the pattern they're in. I might do that sometimes. Doesn't mean I'm a bad person. But he could also be signalling somebody in the audience or signalling somebody that time to change the questions to understand what these signals mean. There we go. Yes, that's right. They both were assassinated or murdered is a better word. It's funny, you know, you can stand up here and talk about aliens, and because it's very, very difficult to prove, please help yourself, very difficult to prove, the control elements aren't too bothered. But if you talk about 9/11 or something that can implicate people who are still alive, they become very, very jumpy. So whenever a speaker would talk about something that is connectable in a 3D sense, it's a subject that's not light. I wanted to read these out to you because, for those of you who are not clear, this man was totally split in the sense that he was in a position of authority and he wanted to make changes and couldn't. Right, here it starts off. The survival of our friends is in danger, and yet no war has been declared, no borders have been crossed by marching troops, no missiles have been fired. That's fairly guarded, but it gets more aggressive, so it should. We are opposed around, this is very famous, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies on government means for expanding its share of influence on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines the military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific and political operations. So he's actually coming out and saying exactly what's going on. But of course, at that time in the 60s, human consciousness wasn't at the level it is now. I don't know if this is a true statement, but the key here is the word occultists and Zionists. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, there's a big difference between a Jew and a Zionist. Rockefeller. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my own family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. It's there. It's there. But why isn't everybody acting? It's because this control system is so powerful that people say, you know, it doesn't affect me, or I can't do anything. That's why Britexit was so important. Whatever you voted, the fact is something happened and people did make their voice heard. They did make change. All right, this is important because there's so much nonsense actually about JFK and why he was murdered. For ufologists, I don't believe he was murdered because he was about to expose ufology. I don't believe. I believe this is the statement that got him murdered. Here we go. There's a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman and child before I leave this high and noble office. I intend to expose this plot. And 7 days later, he's dead. This was what killed him. It was about the whole control mechanism that he had partially been aware of. Remember, when he was a young senator, he actually wrote to the military about Roswell and said, I want to have some information. And it's actually on the CIA files that they responded to him. The CIA was, of course, created after 47. But they responded to him, and he was known as a young senator who had been given some information about Roswell. So there is truth that Kennedy knew about the alien connections. Right, when is a person just old? And when are they just, well, reptilian? It's very scary. I'm sorry, but you gave me the reaction I wanted, which is you laughed at it. Because you know what? If you laugh, your resonation and frequency is higher than this, and it can't hurt you. Okay, that's how I want you to be with it. You're higher than it. It can't touch you. Let's just look at some more. All I can say is God save her. When David Icke talked about the reptilians, he lost a lot of support. Because people can believe that a psychopath runs their government. They can understand that, and there's much they can understand. But when you talk about an energy overlay over a person that's really a reptilian, he lost a lot of support. And what a brave man he was. And I accept what he says is true, absolutely true. There's another one here, the old one. Yeah, I think we're nearly finished. Do you know, that's the end of it. So what I want to do, I just want to read you some bits. I just picked the paper up. You know this rather horrible shooting that's occurred and these police officers in America got killed. I want to read you the statement here. This is from Hillary Clinton. I mourn the officers shot for doing their sacred duty. Sacred, that means a sacrifice. If she uses the word sacred, that's a sacrifice. Okay, so understand that one. Let's do some more here. This is just in the Guardian newspaper. The front page is US reels from Dallas massacre. The Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, said the events had left the Americans feeling a sense of helplessness, of uncertainty, and of fear. These feelings are understandable and they are justified. They're not. This is the system trying to program people to be victimized and fearful. And then she goes on to say, but the answer is not violence. In other words, we don't want violence against the control system, so you can't be violent to us, but we'll be violent to you. So you need to understand that that is a statement that's going out saying, I understand how it's made you all fearful. No, it doesn't. It doesn't make you fearful. What it says is, I understand what's going on here. There's something playing out here, and it's wrong, and it needs to stop. So it's not about being fearful. So she's got that wrong for a start. The other thing I want to show about the different world. This, I love this one. This is a woman called Christina Estard. And it says 75 million for divorcee, which is fine. I have a problem with that business, but I love that. Who at court said she required 1 million a year for clothes. So what sort of world have we got where we've got, and on the other side, are some black people from Eritrea starving. So on this side of the newspaper, this woman needs £1 million a year, and this poor person only needs £1 to survive. How can this be right on the same page of a newspaper? Don't the editors have any? No, they don't, obviously not. So here we go. Here's another one. Lady Green. Who knows what Lady Green was involved in? Ah, no presents. Right, Lady Green was married to Lord Green, and it's about BHS. Did you say BHS? I'm sorry, I didn't even whisper it. Right, so I'll just read it. In 2005, Lady Green collected 1.2 billion. Now, these are crib DVDs, they're really good. Go on, thank goodness. Right, in 2005, Lady Green collected 1.2 billion dividend from Arcadia, the biggest in British corporate history. No tax was paid on the dividend because of her Monaco base. The same goes for the family share of the estimated 586 million that was paid out of BHS to the Greens and other investors in dividends. Do you know there are people who worked all their lives at BHS and probably got their pension now? They're going to have to go cap in hand to the government. So she got 1.2 billion because he transferred it to his wife because she lived in Monaco, paid no tax, followed by a further 585 million. So this is what's totally, totally wrong. And if you have £100 in the bank or £1,000 in the bank, you're trapped in a system. Because if the system comes down, then, oh, I'm going to lose my money. So they've got me. All right, I very quickly, how much time we got, Kerry?
It's 20 to 3, sir.
How much have I got?
20 minutes. Okay.
Fantastic, right, okay. I want to do a quick warning. This is not about fear. It's about stopping something. Hang on. It's about stopping something. Those of you who followed the work know that we did some interesting work with the Hadron Collider, CERN, correct? And, there's 3D official evidence out there which shows that it actually stopped working during the worldwide group meditation. That obviously is just coincidence. And what I want to do is to alert you to the fact there are three people now in high places, not in this country. Two wish to activate the San Andreas Fault, to activate a 7 on the Richter scale. These two want to do it before the November presidential election. The third one wants to do it after the presidential election. And this is using the device called HARP. I'm going to do a worldwide meditation. I can't do anything with the machine because the CERN machine had consciousness, you see. The machine was sort of semi-alive. The HARP machine is not. And I'm not going to waste my time sending peace and love to a piece of machinery. What I want to do is to send a message to these three people that they should be part of the human race, that they have a duty to humanity, and to whatever humanity is left in them, I'm going to appeal to that. But I need to do remote viewing with my teams beforehand. I'm not going to put anyone into any sort of jeopardy. So we need to do that, and we'll be calling on volunteers in September, and we need to stop this. The idea being that California, Texas and Ohio wish to secede from the Union, and if we can prevent an activation of that machine, there won't be martial law declared in California. That's the point. We need to understand the economic situation. We'll quickly talk about Putin. You did bring that up. There was a Rothschild meeting 5 weeks ago. This is the executive group. The executive group agreed to the deal from the Chinese. The Chinese have offered the Americans the codes to a German bank. Remember, the Chinese have one-third of the world's gold to back the yuan. You've got China, India and Russia working together. But the executive needed the Bilderberg Group to ratify it, and many things they were doing, but that was one of the things to ratify that. But the Chinese deal is that the Americans can have access to the gold, providing they move to a silver-based currency. For the last 7 years, the Americans have been hoarding silver, historically accurate. Think of the Wild West and the silver dollar. So the Americans will move to a silver-based currency. The Russians and the Chinese and the Indians will have a gold-based currency. And George Soros, famous for the man that broke the Bank of England, for you who don't know, he's an American, and he has the George Soros Foundation. That sounds really nice, doesn't it? It sounds like a foundation that helps starving people to access clean drinking water. No, I'm sorry. The George Soros Foundation is just simply there to make money for George Soros. It has $30 billion to invest, and George Soros, as we speak, is buying gold mines in South America because he wishes to position himself. United States of America, silver-backed currency. Russia, China, gold-backed currency. George Soros in the middle with gold mines, trying to play this real. I've always said that there are three very important places on the planet. United States of America, it's where the physical will is going to happen. The United Kingdom, because it's where the energy is. And Germany, because it's geographically centrally placed and has a lot of karma to it.
Finally, the three women are from there.
Well, I did talk about the pyramid, the triangle, and this is the plan to try and hook it in. So I'm going to take a few questions, but I just want to say to you that I've never stood before anybody and said, we're finished, it's all over. I've stood before you because it's not finished and all over, except for the other side. Anybody who wants to stand in the way of freedom and the development, you need to understand that this isn't the only planet evolving. Planets naturally evolve. And there's a covenant between the planet and the human race, which the planet has not forgotten, thank goodness. That's why it's really important that you individually reconnect with the planet and show your love for the planet. So when this planet evolves, as it will do, it will take those people with it that are ready to go with it and want to go with it. And it's really important that we understand that. And it's not that we're better than anybody. That's the terrible road to go down. I see it in some of these New Age groups. You know, here's one group, oh, we're this group, and there's that group. Well, that's exactly what the CIA wanted, to split people up. We should all understand that we'll be good. I'm just going to arbitrarily pull out a doctor. Now, let's just not go down the road of the pharmaceuticals, but a doctor may say, I'm more important than the person that empties the rubbish or the refuse, the trash, because I went to university and did 6 years. So I'm more important than that person. You see, until we can remove that type of ideology, we can't, as a one group, move forward. because we are already setting ourselves out into this elite sign. And some people say, I like money because I can give it away. Some of the Sikhs and other religions actually give 10% of their salary to charity. Very good idea. Before I take the questions, for those of you who haven't seen, that is the little medal that I was given when I went round Fylingdale's three-phased array. And if you want to have a look at it, you're very welcome to. And this is a medal that I was given by an astronaut. You're very welcome to have a look at that. Now, there are two Norwegian ladies who need to come up and get a present. Do you want to come up now, and I'll just take some questions? Hi. I'll just get this sorted first. As you're both the same in, from your energy frequency, would you like one of those each, or would you like something else?
This one.
Okay. You cheated. You went first. You don't have to have that. You could have something else. There's a marvel, and a fossil book. All that.
It's in English.
It is in English.
And this was?
Made in Germany about 1880.
This?
Have what you want. It's free. Just take it, darling. I'll tell you what we'll do. You have that, and you have that.
Thank you.
No, have that. Have that.
No.
Right, we've got about 15 minutes. I'm really happy to take any questions. The audience. So the gentleman in the white at the back.
Simon, hi. Sorry, I lost my glasses. I can't see you properly. But you mentioned Brexit a couple of times, and I've been absolutely fascinated by it, following every twist and turn and campaigning for it in Watford. And it occurred to me only fairly recently, I don't know if, what you think, only occurred to me recently just precisely what the deception was that that the government was playing. And that is, there's one central obvious thing which would probably allow a lot of people to vote Brexit in a heartbeat. And they did everything they could to get people to take their eye off that by playing the dividing rule, talking about the economy, racism, it's a protest against the political class, whatever. As long as they didn't talk about this one thing. And the one thing is about democratic accountability. And, if you can't vote out your government, you're not free, you're a slave. And people have been encouraged to think that the European Parliament, because they're MEPs, it's pretty much, it's a bit remote, but it's democratic, it's vaguely democratic, that's enough for me, because they're MEPs. But the one thing no one says is that the European Parliament has no law-making power. All they can do is rubber stamp what's sent down from the unelected commissioners. That's all they can do. They have no power. The European Parliament is an illusion. So we're basically faced, if we'd have stayed in, we'd have been faced with these commissioners who can't vote out, making most of our laws in time. And then, because of that, we would not be free. But there was no mention of that at all. They just wanted to allow people to just go along with that illusion that the European Parliament was powerful. It has no power whatsoever.
It doesn't. I just want to add another layer. Thank you for that. And that's, I agree with that, totally. But I want to add another layer of complexity on top of this. 4 years ago, there was a demonstration in central Tel Aviv, 100,000 Jews, which is massive for a very small population, demonstrated for peace. They didn't want war with their Arab neighbours. That was not covered. The only reason I know, because somebody I know sent me a clip on their mobile phone, but that was not put across. Now then, think back the last 3 months. You couldn't put the television on without seeing lots and lots of migrants charging against the boundaries. You couldn't open a newspaper without seeing it. Why would the elite play to the exit campaign? Why did they push that? You see, let's talk about the top of the pyramid. Of the top of the pyramid, 100% are elite. But they are stratified within that. The vast majority of the elite wanted Britain to stay in Europe because financially and politically they kept the control. But I have to tell you that the very, very top wanted out. If you go and do some research, you will find that some very prominent people, George Soros is one of them, bet that Britain would leave the European Union. And I haven't got the figures, I've not been given the figures, but what I've been told is that he made a 15% return on his investment. and a Rothschild also bet that Britain would leave. And when the Twin Towers came down, Larry Silverstein made $1 billion. So when things happen, they're not just on one level, ladies and gentlemen, they're on several levels. So the vast majority of the elite wanted Britain to stay in Europe. But the very top boys decided they could make a big killing on this because, as I said earlier, they want to suck the wealth out of the Western world. Why else would you have night after night on British television pictures which purely played to the racist camp? Why would you do that? If you know, they know how powerful imagery is. So you have to understand that the 95% of the elite were betrayed by their own elite. That's why in politics in Britain, everyone was sticking a knife in everyone's back, because they were leaderless or they felt betrayed by the people. So this is what's happening. As our energies are moving and changing, so they are being forced to decide where they are. And I hope they join the human race.
Were they not self-destructive in that sense? Because they played against their own game.
Yes. If you do something that is not beneficial to others, but only beneficial to yourself, then you are putting yourself above them, therefore that will come back and bite you. So yes, it's right. Next question. I think, lady there. Hi.
What
do
you were going to say something about Putin? I'm dying to know.
Okay. One of the pictures that I didn't get, I'm really sorry, I have a picture, a very rare picture of Putin in the ocean with dolphins around him. A really, really lovely picture. And that, I think, tells a lot. As far as I'm concerned, Putin is neither good nor bad. Putin is meant to be here at this time and he stands in the middle. That's the energy that he presents. I'd never signed the Official Secrets Act, so I'm not in breach of anything. I'm going to tell you that the battle in Ukraine, which was funded and sorted by the CIA, was for a Zionist stroke faction. And we've got some really crazy people in power in this country and in the West. A VPN line is a secure line that runs under the ground and is not for general purpose. It takes internet traffic. And there was a line that runs under the Ukraine, and some elements of MI5, who were not people who would come and have a cup of tea with me, not MI5, I mean some elements of MI5 wouldn't be allowed to come and have a cup of tea with me, put some information down this VPN line that all of the Trident-type missiles, nuclear missiles, were targeted against Russian cities. They weren't, but knowing full well that Putin's secret service would hack that, and they wanted a response out of Putin. What Putin actually did was did not react, and someone says Putin's quite good, he doesn't react, and he doesn't. And that's why last year, or the year before, I can't remember now, we had a big Soviet exercise off Antarctica. Time and time again, Putin has been stuck with a pin in the hope that he will respond, and he doesn't. I have some connections out there, and I tell you what, the public love him. They really love him. And it's very hard for Western politicians to understand why that is. In my own political party, when I stood out in public and talked about aliens, I never got any issues. And when I did that breakfast programme, and a senior Tory minister had attacked me the week before, and I thought, well, it's just right a reply, isn't it? I can have a go back. And it was Portillo who had attacked me. And I basically said on live breakfast television with Schofield, I don't mind if he's attacking me for my policies, because I was an elected politician. Why isn't he attacking me for my policies? Why is he attacking me on a personal level? Well, when I got back home, I got a phone call from HQ, the Labour Party, saying, fine, but listen, next time you're going to attack a senior Tory politician, for God's sake, tell us so we can tell the press office. Because what was being put out on the media was that the Labour Party was going to kick me out and tear me apart and all the rest of it. That's not the case. But where I did get in trouble was when I started to say that actually Putin isn't an evil man. Putin is there fighting his own corner. And that's when the elite turned on me, because Putin is like Corbyn. He cannot be manipulated. And if you can't manipulate someone, and let's ask yourselves why some of these politicians are pulled out from the race. If you were a man, let's just call a name out of the air. Oh, Rupert Murdoch. I'd just call that name out of the air. It's just coincidental. If you have a... No, it is. It's just coincidental. If you have a newspaper that works on digging dirt on people, you are a real asset because you are going to have so much on politicians. And if you say to somebody, I don't think you want to do this because if you do, we'll go public. But you don't do that. You get someone in the intelligence agency to carry that message to you. And that's why when that email got leaked and Rupert Murdoch's name came out, that was quite interesting. So even for those who study this subject, the depth of complexity is shocking. Absolutely shocking, because there's been no checks and balances on these people. And all that we've got left in the intelligence agencies are people of good heart and good intent. And my mother was tricked in the sense into doing what she did. Because as a single parent, bringing up a child in the 1960s, and to be told, if you do this work for us, you'll get two wages. Well, of course she did, because she was struggling back in those days. It was very, very, very hard. So she was tricked. She wasn't even told what the document was. She was just told, you have now signed the Official Secrets Act. So we need to understand that we need to really rethink the way that we work. Next question. Hi.
sorry. So you have Sumerian gods, Egyptian gods, Greek gods, Norse gods. There's many different alien races that came to our planet to be carved into history as legends and myths. I'm Japanese, and there's a group of gods in my country too, the Shinto gods. There's a legend in Japan about the first emperor was a descendant of the Shinto sun god Amaterasu Omikami.
Sun.
Yep. I've also heard from Alex Collier, I think, that the Shinto gods were a collective of beings from the Pleiades and the Andromedan Galaxy. My question is, would you trust the Japanese royalty or the government to be of benevolence, or should the Japanese public, including myself and my family, be wary of them? After all, they and the Japanese government do keep many secrets, especially the occult kind, not to mention the kamikaze rituals displayed during World War II and the Chinggis Khan invasion. And Hitabashira, human sacrifices, which sounds quite reptilian, in my opinion, after listening to all your interviews. Did we get taken over?
I compliment you on your English. I only speak one language, so well done, sir. Brilliant, thank you. Good question. You already know the answer, but you've answered the question because you want that debate out here, and that's fair enough. No, you trust yourself. That's what you do. You trust your soul. That's what everybody should do. Ask yourself, is this right that I'm what I'm going to do? Or does this person sound right to me? Does this benefit people? Or does it just benefit me or this individual? So it's not about trusting in that sense, putting your energy into an organization. It's about what you believe. Put trust in yourself. Some of these gods are the same gods. Okay, and we've had this conversation with other speakers. If anything has a sacrifice in it, it ain't good. So, you've got Abraham wanting to sacrifice. Then you go across to the Aztecs in South America wanting to sacrifice. We have Hillary Clinton using the word sacrifice here. These are not necessarily separate gods. They're a god that comes into one nation, one country, and then gets kicked out, and then sets up camp somewhere else, and then gets kicked out. And often it's the same one in a different guise. So I am not going to involve myself in your country's politics, because it's a very noble history, it's got a long history, and there's much culture there. So my answer to you is, you're absolutely right, 100%, just trust yourself. Next question.
Hi. Given that we create with our minds, and I think in one of your interviews you said you had a picture, you knew what mankind could be.
Yes.
Can you please share some of your picture with us so that we can join in that vision?
Thank you. I'm happy to. One of the best ways is a meditation to create the ideal picture. We have to be very careful, because each person's perception of what they think the ideal picture is different. So we have to have goals that cannot be corrupted. Goals that only speak from the heart. The concept for me is a world where We aren't prisoners of our own framework. We don't create our own prison. We don't create our own limitations where we actually believe that we can do anything we want. Right? There are so many misguided people on this planet. And most of them have been made that way because of the system, the way they've grown up. And we need to understand that they're not actually bad people, but they've just been manipulated. And I haven't yet reached the full level of my development. If I was a prime minister, I would have a very real problem in not hanging a paedophile, as it stands at the moment. Okay, there's one subject that because of what I know, I cannot forgive, and that's people who hurt children. I can't yet forgive that. Now, maybe I'm not fully on my journey. I'm sure I'm not. So maybe when the day comes when I can forgive at that level, then maybe I've made it. But at the moment, I just couldn't. I couldn't do that. And when we've cleansed all of this, you see, this is a third dimensional planet. We have words satanic, occult, sacrifice. Those words don't exist in the fourth dimension, in the black magic world, but the energies do. And those energies have been drawn here, and we give the word. If you go higher dimensionality, they lose their strength. So this world is vastly modelled on somewhere else, and that's why when we evolve, we don't actually need to do much with the fourth dimension, because we've already experienced it. So you've got to remove the poison, remove the control. There will be a period where people are lost. But it would be dangerous to come in and say, all right, okay, well, we're going to give you a way forward, because that can become the next control system. You know, we've got to draw all the poison out. So what do I foresee? I foresee men and women living in these physical bodies, but being aware that actually what's inside them is very different and is of an energy creation and will come back. Understanding that the best thing you can do is forgive and have love, to always think about other people and not about yourself, and to share what you've got. Because it's really hard. If you've got a piece of bread or you've got something and have tried to demonstrate it today, yes, I know these are extra things, presents. But if we give without wanting anything back, we're not putting an energy signature on it. I give you this. I don't want anything back from you. You know, I'll give you the story. I'm sorry, Kerry. Can I have 2 more minutes? Is that all right? Just 2 minutes. Yes. I know. I'm sorry, darling. Gentleman's dead now. God bless him. Really nice guy. I have allotment. I like to grow my own food because I really don't want the chemicals that are sprayed on these things any more than what's coming from upstairs. And this guy had a bit of a mental condition. He collected sticks. He had loads and loads of sticks, thousands and thousands of sticks. Just laid up everywhere. And he was watering his garden, and he had a little watering can. And I was watering my allotment with my hose. And God bless him, his name was Harold. And he was going backwards and forwards with watering cans. Harold, would you like to borrow my hose to water your garden? And I could see the control system coming on him. And it was like, no, it's all right, I've nearly finished. And I said, how have you got a stick that I could borrow? I've got a sunflower, and it's moving around. No, I haven't got any sticks. And behind him is literally hundreds of sticks. Well, at the end of it, when he finishes, he comes up to me and gives me a stick. Now, that tells us so much, because I asked him for something and it wasn't a shop. Because, oh, I give you this coin or this note and you give me something back. 3-year-old children are already programmed into that. They go to the sweet shop, they give the person the money and they get something back. They're already programmed. So when I asked him for something, and without giving him anything in return, it was, oh, can't do that. Then he thought about it and thought, I'll give him a stick. So we need to understand the levels of programming. And remember the story, sorry, Kerry, remember the story, American research done in Britain some 12 years ago, where two guys went into a school, 7-year-old kids, and they dressed in boiler suits. And they went in and they said, quick, everybody, there's an earthquake. Get under the table. And not a single child at 7 years old got under the table. Then, obviously, it's all agreed between the headmaster and the staff. They went into the changing rooms. put on 500 pound suits, went into the next class and said, "Quick, everybody, there's an earthquake." And everybody got under the table. Because by the age of 7 years old, those children already understood what a uniform was. If you had a tie, you were a man. You had a tie and a shirt and a suit. You had to do what you were told. But if you went in as a working man, you didn't matter. So you need to understand how people are controlling. And even parents are inadvertently controlling their children. I think we've run out of time. Listen, thank you ever so much. I love you very much. Thank you.